Do with part two.
Okay, now that we got rid of the light part of the program, we're going into the heavy part. Because something is happening in every aspect of this country. When I collect my articles of the week and compare them with the research that I've done on those particular situations in the past and spread them out and try to figure what in the heck I'm going to share with you for 1 hour, I could go continuously a marathon for weeks and weeks. There's so much each week, it's hard to comprehend. But there is a bottom line. There always is a bottom line. And I'm going to get to it now. I practically bring it up every week, but it's very important. I've done several the sections on this program on Fritz Kramer, the Iron Mentor, the chief advisor in the Pentagon, a man that has to be investigated. The bloodbath is starting in Nicaragua, Guatemala, El Salvador, Cuba. I've been talking about this for over a year, just when Reagan was going to take oath of office, and they're heading that way. And this man is the Iron Mentor, as I say, that's the description of him, behind the people that are doing this bloody movement of American troops and money and soldiers, just identical to what Adolf Hitler did in Europe when he took France and Holland and Belgium and Romania and Poland and so forth and went all through Europe. This is what the United States is doing, and it's directed by the same people that we gave you World War II. And as various people are saying in the news, we're on the brink of World War III. There was an article today in the San Jose Mercury or the Chronicle. I don't remember which one on, I guess it was the Chronicle because Mercury comes in the mail, but it's the Sunday Chronicle, not the Herald, on the brink of World War III, the troops in the Middle East, every country being armed and so forth, getting ready to World War III. And Gaddafi says the United States is goading for World War III, and he says, I will die. And I'm sure that they have kamikaze troops and would burst. He's threatened to burst atomic plants all over wherever they're located that he can reach if we attempt to get to this. Now, getting back to Fritz Kramer, I got a letter with a picture of a Joseph Kramer, Beast of Belsen. And this is not the same Kramer that I'm referring to. This is from a book, The Gallery of Nazis, put out in 1978 by Maurice Karg, C-A-R-G. Somebody sent me a picture. The Beast of Belsen, Joseph K-R-A-M-E-R. No, I'm talking about Fritz K-R-A-E-M-E-R in the Battle of the Bulge around Arnhem and so forth. Not this other one. There are lots of Kramers in Germany. I'm talking about a particular one that went to Europe to the Battle of the Bulge with Henry Kissinger and sat in a hayloft while the fighting was going on, involved with Otto Skorzeny and the betrayal of the American troops that stalled the war so that Hitler could get the money out of Germany and the gold out and all of the capital out of there before Germany collapsed. Now, I'll do more on that Fritz Kramer in a little while. I want to tell you, for some of you, I don't want you to grieve too much and break your little heart. Some of you know that Otto von Bollschwang expired this week. That little darling, he's been sitting up in Sacramento ever since his name appeared in 1979, which wasn't long ago. The State Department and the Immigration was investigating the fact that he was a Nazi war criminal. He died from a rare disease called supranuclear palsy. The nuclear probably comes from an overdose of radiation when his name began to be linked to some more famous criminals who are floating around and in the news right now. He was described in the paper this week as a former Nazi SS captain who voluntarily surrendered his U.S. citizenship as he was dying a few weeks ago. He cashed it in. I guess his little sweetie who filed for divorce won't have to go through that now. He had this rare disease, which I describe as something between a Martha Mitchell cancer or a CIA farewell. Dorothy Hunt went down in the plane crash. But there are cancers when people are being investigated, the Jack Ruby cancer that he got 3 weeks after he started saying Lyndon Johnson was involved in the Kennedy assassination. The obituary says that he immigrated to the United States in 1954. He became a naturalized citizen in 1959, and that's when he started traveling back to Europe, represented the very wealthy multinational corporations, the Warner Lamberts, the Lodges, and so forth, with a lot of money, the Cabots, and going back to Europe to make his Nazi connections. He was the Galen agent in the United States in charge of espionage in the United States when Reinhard Galen went back to take care of the European Department in Germany. The CIA sat in on his interviews with the Justice Department interrogation when they discussed his having been a Nazi and lying about when he came to this country. And the CIA ordered him don't give any information what you did prior to 1945. Well, you can believe they didn't want any information prior to 45 because he was in the SS with Himmler in the notorious SS working with him and extermination projects as fast as they could do them while he was working with the OSS, which became the CIA. He was working for the American organizations at the same time he was working for the Nazi organizations. And what I'm looking for with Fritz Kramer and Henry Kissinger in the Bulge was that they had lots of American tanks and they had American soldiers' uniforms and they betrayed the Americans because they brought in people who our soldiers believed were part of our group and they actually were Nazis, entrapping them. And this guy was using both agencies, the CIA and the SS, simultaneously. And later he comes out working with these same people. So I wonder if what he did in 1945. Earlier he was in Palestine and he worked with the Jewish affairs and advised Adolf Eichmann and set up the extermination programs. And I've done a program, several programs on Bolshevik, and I have a lot more to do on him. And for those of you who don't have them, you can order those tapes. I believe one of them was number 520 on Otto von Bolschwing. Yes, November 22nd, 1981, on the anniversary of John Kennedy's murder, because the Galen operation and the 28 people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that worked with Lee and Marina Oswald were agents of Otto von Bolschwing and the SS and Himmler's and Hitler's Galen operation in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and also in the New Orleans area with Clay Shaw and the International Trademark. And so the Nazi agents were thick in the Kennedy murder and Otto von Bolschwing. The article in the San Jose Mercury that I reviewed on this program came just before the anniversary of Kennedy's death. Now, Ronald Reagan made an appointment this week that some of you may or may not know about, and this is the one that I really want to go into at length with you. It has to do with a man named J. Peter Grace. J. Peter Grace. He has a company. He's chairman of a company. And they have chemicals, oil, gas, energy, the W.R. Grace & Company. And it's linked with the Flick organization and I.G. Farben. And they are into oil, gas, coal, energy services, jewelry stores, restaurants, and other fields not named. And this particular J. Peter Grace, the New York industrialist and described as a philanthropist, was named as a chairman of an organization by Ronald Reagan last week. He was appointed as chairman of the private sector survey on cost control in the federal government. Private sector survey on cost control, how to save money in the federal government. Now, his partner, Mr. J. Peter Grace's partner in chemical business, was the activist in I.G. Farben, the man who created the idea for the extermination of Jews and other people, not only Jews, because many others were killed in those gas chambers. And for gas warfare, his name was Otto Ambrose, and he was the partner until December of 81. Now, Mr. J. Peter Grace donated approximately $400,000 to push and promote newspaper ads for Ronald Reagan's tax cuts. Now, I'm going into this partner, this Otto Ambrose, that worked with Grace all these years, because Ambrose conceived the idea of slave labor, bringing it into the Buna factory at Auschwitz, setting up IG Auschwitz, where you brought in people to work and walk in the snow until they died, and when they died, you put them away. And then you brought other people in, so you never had to pay salary, and you gave them a bowl of water and rice a day, and you just kept bringing them and getting the last vestige of work until they died. And Ambrose was behind that. He was the genius behind the germ warfare and the chemicals that doused these people in the extermination camps and behind the slave labor. And this Ambrose from Nazi Germany was tried at Nuremberg as a war criminal, and according to the San Francisco Chronicle, this is Saturday, March the 6th, this partner of Mr. Grace was interviewed a while back, and he confirmed that Mr. Ambrose was a technical advisor. Grace confirmed his chemical company many years employed Ambrose as a technical advisor. This is I.G. Farben. And that he also wrote a letter to the State Department to help Ambrose obtain a visit in 1958. He was going to visit the United States. Now, that von Bolschwing was here from 54 to 59. They're all over in this country together, and it was arranged that he should come to this country. Now, this Mr. Grace's comments when he was asked about his friend Ambrose, who is a designer of chemical extermination and mass slave labor. And this is his answer, according to an interview in Newsday that they had with him. "I don't see what that has to do with the price of eggs," Grace said. And he told about other stories of ties to Ambrose that he has. "That's a good way for my enemies to get to me." Ambrose, in a telephone interview with Newsday last year in his home in Mannheim, West Germany, was asked about what he did during the war. And he was charged with the mass murder and slave labor. He said, in quotes, "This happened a very long time ago. It involved Jews. We don't think about it anymore. This is all boring to me," Ambrose said in another interview. "I know Americans are disturbed about the past. I don't understand why. You Americans are funny," Ambrose said. He was a Grace consultant when he was saying this until December 31st, 1981. Now, when I take my domestic articles about what's going on in this country, about factories being put overseas where they will make things and sell them to us, the unemployment, the closing of various automobile dealers, clothing factories, General Electric, and so forth, buy it overseas, get slave labor in Singapore, Hong Kong, and so forth. The high inflation like in Germany, it isn't just Jews that are hurting. And Otto Ambrose had the pattern of chemical gas warfare, and we're being sprayed in California with the metafluon. I'm starting that again with the medfly thing, the malathion chemicals that was first used and made over there by IG Farben in Germany. And California's in for another dosage for women, children, fruits. The lemon industry was 80 million short this year because of the medfly spraying. Okay, this country is getting bankrupt, and it has nothing to do with Jews alone. He's saying it involved Jews, and we don't think about it anymore. But Mr. Ambrose is alive today and has worked most of his life since the war days as a war criminal and long before with J. Peter Grace, a chemical company. And now Grace is appointed as part of the private sector on cost control. So he can tell Ronald Reagan how to cut wages, how to have conflicts between airlines, how to offer them to take cuts, how every industry to have less money. There's a new thing about condominiums, how to live in boxes, 40 feet by 40 feet or some ridiculous thing. The San Francisco Chronicle had, they're designing individual prison cells to beat the, they're worse than trailers even, to beat the inflation and the heating, and you don't have to mow your garden, okay? You dig your own grave or sit in your own little cell. Now, at the Nuremberg trials, according to the San Francisco Chronicle this week, prosecutors presented evidence of Ambrose negotiations with the SS officials for IG Farben Chemical. He would have a 200,000 slave labor group going continuously from Auschwitz concentration camp. They built Auschwitz next to the caves and mines. They could have put them in Sweden or a Scandinavian country, but there were three rivers converging, and they wanted the Buna synthetic rubber plants for IG Farben at this location. So the Auschwitz camp was built through the genius of this team to have slave labor, and they could continuously have 200,000 and gas the lame, the crippled, the people that die on the streets or the funny looking and so forth, and just gas them if you wanted to and make the others work. After the deal was set for slave labor, Ambrose wrote to a fellow director of IG Farben, "Our new friendship with the SS shows gratifying effects because Himmler could ship all those people to him, and IG Farben, a private company, could use the slave labor." And they were very happy. According to prosecutors, because the Auschwitz camp was several miles from the rubber plant, and several miles was a long time without shoes in the snow, Ambrose ordered construction of another concentration camp, Monowitz, right next to the factory for greater efficiency, where more than 25,000 people, slave laborers, died at Monowitz and the rubber plant while Ambrose was a factory manager. Now, Peenemünde was a slave factory base for Wernher von Braun and Walter Dornberger. Von Braun came over here and took over NASA and our space agencies. Dornberger became a chief executive at Bell Aerospace in Texas. And Lee Harvey Oswald's friend, he stayed at his home, was a designer, Michael Payne, for Walter Dornberger. That's where I caught to the Nazi connection. And they use slave labor here. So if Americans think that they're going to get any benefits at all, their benefits are being cut off, the jobs are being cut off, and they are expendable, and it has nothing alone to do with Jews. It has to do with anybody who opposes what comes down, and also Chicano, Mexicans, blacks. There are a lot of plans for these people in the American literature of the Nazi Party, and in Canada, lays it out very clearly what they intend to do with most of us. Ambrose was convicted of mass murder. He served several years of an 8-year prison sentence. I mentioned last week that Ted Sharrock, who investigated the Robert Kennedy assassination and exposed the LAPD and that crooked gang that are down there playing around with corpses and mismanaging autopsies and lying all the time, Sharrock was caught with some computerized tickets for airlines, several for 3 flights to Europe, and got a sentence of 9 years. And yet people who are known to be war criminals using slave labor and killing people who are working for them and killing people who they just don't want to exist got 2 and 3 years and they were out. The Dallas Times Herald has an article that was sent to me. The president has picked J. Peter Grace, head of an international chemical company, as chairman of the private sector survey on cost control. And this is important because U.S. State Department, on behalf of one Dr. Otto Ambrose, said he was a paid consultant as a chemical consultant by Grace's company and a lot of other firms, a large number of other firms. How do you think the airlines and other companies, again, are manipulating people to take less wages, to reduce on the books their profits, to say they're going broke? And evidently, a lot of corporations or heads or factories can say, we're going broke, get you to work for nothing, and then bring you back. This article in the Dallas Times Herald, talks about this appointment and other appointments of Ronald Reagan's, and it's very dangerous to have somebody like Otto Ambrose working with Mr. Grace, J. Peter Grace, and Grace, chairman of the private sector survey on cost control. How can Ronald Reagan save money? Now, there's a good book. There's lots of books on I.G. Farben. Just one of them I have time to mention here because this specifically has sections on Otto Ambrose, The Crime and Punishment of I.G. Farben by Joseph Borkin. He's one of those authors that died just the week before the book came out, and it's an interesting book. He's written some other books, but I don't have them. Germany's Master Plan, he wrote in 1943. If any of you want to locate it and send it to me, I'll take it. Joseph Borkin, B-O-R-K-I-N, The Germany's Master Plan, written with Charles Welsh in 1943. Now, what does he say about Mr. Otto Ambrose, the partner of Mr. Grace, who's advising how to cut wages in the United States of America and what to do with this? There's a picture in this book of Zyklon B that was a lethal gas manufactured by I.G. Farben at Auschwitz, and the man behind it was Otto Ambrose, Mr. Grace's business partner. The book says in 1937 there was a drastic change in I.G. Farben. They became completely Nazified, and one of the people on the board managing it at the time was Otto Ambrose, going back to 1937. Now, a lot of people say, May, why do you talk about the Nazis? Why, so many years on this program, you keep going back to the root of our problems being the Nazis. And the Nazis are dead. The war is over. The war was over in 1945, and this is 1982, I'm rushing that one. What has that got to do with us 37 years ago? Because this man, Otto Ambrose, was on the board of I.G. Farben in 1937. He's a business partner up till this year with a Mr. Grace who works with I.G. Farben, J. Peter Grace. And the President of the United States has appointed these people to help cut expenses from our backs and neck and create the problems they had in Germany. See, they're not dead. They haven't gone. They are advisors. And don't forget little darling Helene von Damm, who's the secretary who makes all appointments or decides on cabinet positions. Somebody said when I mentioned she was the secretary for Ronald Reagan in the White House, they thought I meant she made the appointments, like at 12 o'clock you'll have lunch with Nancy and at 1 you'll sing with Merle Haggard about the hippies in the 60s and the long hair and oh, rah, rah, you know. Now, not that kind of appointment. She decides who gets committees such as J. Peter Grace, and she was brought to California from Vienna by Otto von Waldschwang, brought to Sacramento, as I've said before, 8 years with the governor. When we had these bloodbaths in California that he's now making national for benefit of all of you, we've had it here, and now we're going out to other countries and continuing it with these advisors, and now she has that room in the Oval Office right next to him. and decides on appointments. Now, these are not old times. These are not dead people that didn't matter. They're alive, and they belong to corporations that are swallowing America, American banks, American lives, in a way to send us off. They don't care whether it's the Middle East, whether it's Central America or down to Colombia or with Southeast Asia. Just keep the money rustling. Keep the soldiers going. Keep the drug traffic flowing. That's the name of the game. And meanwhile, they're strangling us at home, and every other country that goes along with it is going bankrupt. Now, the book on I.G. Farben refers to France in 1940-41. He was instrumental, Mr. Otto Ambrose, in working with the collaborators of the French industry, I.G. Farben and the French industry. He also was very instrumental, Otto Ambrose, with I.G., but he was called by Hitler for his views on getting military raw material, and people from I.G., that's the Farben Industries, decided on the Buna plant, and then he helped build this plant, as I say, near where he could get the slave labor. He was very important to the Fuhrer. He was in close touch. Ambrose gave estimate of the Allied chemical warfare capability, and he was the one who went to Hitler, according to this book on I.G. Farben. He went to Hitler and told him about this stuff called N-stuff, this chemical that could be created, and he got the patent for it. He remembered that a chemical called Tabun was available in 1902. I mean, Otto Ambrose and Mr. Grace are geniuses. You have to give them credit for that. And he went to these chemicals called Tabun, T-A-B-U-N, and Sarin. And in 1937 and 38, they had patented both products as if there was a run on the market for this chemical for extermination that they were going to make. There's a picture of Mr. Ambrose in the book on I.G. Farben and this dangerous chemical that they were to drop. The book on I.G. Farben says that up till the time that Hitler was going to mass produce the chemical, they had tested guinea pigs and rats and animals, and they decided, let's use human beings, let's use Jews. And when asked about the I.G. Farben poison gases on humans, Mr. Ambrose said after the war, he told a certain person, George von Schnitzler, that we may as well use it. He justified this on the grounds that inmates in concentration camps would be killed by Nazis. So the corporations may as well kill them, because if we don't, the Nazis will get them. And in this book, there's a quotation, hearings before a subcommittee of the Committee on Military Affairs, U.S. Senate, 79th Congress, 1945. Now, because of my research and the Melophion spraying and the Jonestown investigation, my name was in a newsletter of Robert McMaster and somebody from a reporter from another newspaper in this country called me, and we became very good friends, and he's been studying I.G. Farben and the Nazification of America since 1957, he said. And we talked to each other frequently during the week for long times, and he's sending me a lot of documents, and I'm sending him books. And he has the House of Representatives hearings on I.G. Farben on what to do with it after the war that began in the House in September 1945, and he's mailing me next week 900 pages of hearings that were available at one time that are hardly available for anyone in the United States. And he's already sent me 30 or 40 pages. So I'll be sharing those with you on the air. Now, one of the things that happened in the House of Representatives was that Representative Voorhees from California was fighting I.G. Farben and trying to break it up as a threat, and because of the monopoly of the dye stuffs, but their role in the last war. And in Treason's Peace by Arnold Brewis, I mentioned it before, it's in that book also. A group from California, from the Bank of America, and from Howard Hughes Aerospace, that was bringing Nazis to this country, picked Richard Nixon, who was in Long Island with the Navy, bringing Nazis out here through Project Paperclip and later to his offices in Whittier, such as Nikolai Vlachsa, who worked in the Iron Guard with Otto von Bolschwing. They brought Richard Nixon out to California to run against Jerry Voorhees, running against the so-called Pinko or communist. And it was the manipulation of the I.G. Farben Nazi group that got our liberal people like Helen Douglas in the Senate or Voorhees in California and all over the country. And that's why the Congress now is weeded out of legitimate Republicans and Democrats. And they put in the military industrialists funded by chemical companies, drug companies, weapons, by Rockwell, Lockheed, banks, big banks, and so forth. I'm going to get the hearings of the House and share them with you. But the quotation of Ambrose saying the corporation, I.G. Farben, may as well kill people because if we don't, Nazis will. And that was his justification. He was tried at Nuremberg. and along with other people, and got a very light sentence. Some people were sentenced to death in Nuremberg, but Otto Ambrose was out in a couple of years. It was really nothing. He was charged with guilty of count three, slavery and mass murder. He was sentenced to imprisonment for 8 years, and he was out. But that wasn't even the end of the story. The head of IG Farben during the war years was a man named Hermann Schmitz, S-C-H-M-I-T-Z. He was the head of IG. And he had a son, Robert Schmitz, who took over for IG Farben in this country when the war was over. In 1950, he was working for W.R. Grace, the same person, the corporation that has J. Peter Grace being employed by Ronald Reagan on how to solve American economy, the chairman of the private sector. Okay, so the son of the head of IG Farben goes to work for Grace, and then Charles Wilson, who retired from General Electric, which was the home company of Ronald Reagan, goes to work for W.R. Grace, who employ and work with Otto Ambrose, the war criminal, right up to December of last year, which we're talking about 2 months ago. Ronald Reagan goes to work for General Electric. Helene von Damm and Otto von Bolschwing have their agent right in the governor's office and in Washington, D.C. J. Peter Grace, who worked with Ambrose until 2 months ago, is working with Ronald Reagan. And I think if you analyze and pick up pieces of what I've done before, and you can get the back tapes. If you don't have them, they're terribly important. That the Nazification of America, the slave labor, or the use of chemicals I mentioned last week, the putting a 2,4-D spray into and paraquate into the marijuana again, to grown here, so you have to buy it overseas. The drugging of people with chemicals that cause cancer in their food, and the use and mentality of minds like this on how to duplicate efficiency of what they did in Germany, how you get people to work for nothing. It's going to come to that in this country. As a matter of fact, they, even though a million people didn't sign up for the draft so far, there are other people signing up because there's unemployment. And you get them willing to die. You can send them to these terrible places and to Africa, all over Africa, because there's every kind of mineral available. And to get your imagination going, there's a map in the paper I saw this week of all the minerals in Africa. And it was part of an article below the starving people, millions of them starving. And they're not getting the fish for these people to eat on the borders. The countries border on water. They're not growing food that they can eat. They're waiting till 1/6 of the African population will die of starvation this year. That was in the San Francisco Examiner this week. 1/6 of the African population will starve, and they're sitting on all these minerals. Well, when you get the mentality of Reinhard Gehlen, who wanted to starve millions and have slave labor, who formed the CIA, and then when you get people like Otto Ambrose, who conceived of the chemicals and the slave labor, and then you combine it with people like Mr. J. Peter Grace, who's appointed by the President of the United States for the private sector survey on cost control. That's as contrived as IG Farben could ever make a title. This is exactly what they used in 1984, changing the words around, like the War Department becomes the Defense Department. And so this is what we did. Otto Ambrose is still functioning. He laughs it off. It just has to do with a few Jews. It has to do with all of you. It isn't a single problem. It's everybody's problem, and it's coming down. And nothing proves it or is more flagrant than the relationship of I.G. Farben, J. Peter Grace, Otto Ambrose, Reinhard Gehlen, and Otto von Bolschwing. They're all a bunch of rubbish, and they should be exposed. And throw in Fritz Kramer and Henry Kissinger and Alexander Haig, and you have a good party. Well, our time is up. I got about 3 minutes now. We'll do some more studying during the week, and I'll be back with you next week. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel. This program originates from Carmel, California.
At KLRB, Carmel by the Sea.